is the Tom Hartman Program.
Welcome, everybody, to the Tom Hartman Program. I'm Danielle, here with Shano, in for Tom today. And if you're in L.A. this weekend, March 28th and 29th, join Tom Hartman at Sister Giant 3, presented by Marianne Williamson. Tom will be speaking on Saturday with former Congressman Dennis Kucinich and Senator Bernie Sanders. For tickets and information, go to Sister Giant or click the link over at TomHartman.com. Happy Friday, everybody. It is Friday here on the Tom Hartman Program, which means anything goes.
We're actually going to do anything goes.
Anything goes, yes.
Which is a little different with us, probably. Because we don't have the breadth of knowledge of Tom, so you're going to be able to run a little more wild, maybe. Even.
Well, by all means. And Bernie Sanders may not be here, but standing in, and I believe about to do one heck of a job, is the one and only Nicole Bell, political pundit, former editor-in-chief over at Crooks and Liars, crooksandliars.com. You can follow Nicole on Twitter, at Nicole Bell. And she is somebody who can talk about anything, be it political or otherwise. Nicole, happy Friday. Thank you for joining us.
Oh, thank you, Danielle. I can't even tell you the ego push it is to say that I am an acceptable substitute for Bernie Sanders. That's huge for me. I'm going to be bragging about this for months.
Well, Nicole, anybody who has heard you before, you're on lots of other shows, radio stations quite often. You're an accomplished writer. You've been on with us, Shane and myself, for years at this point on our various previous shows. You are somebody I think everybody can benefit by listening to.
Well, thank you. I think everybody should listen to me, too. I could just get my kids to start that part. That'd be great.
Yes, absolutely. Kids, listen up. So lots of stuff going on in the news. It's been a fairly big news week, especially politically. There was some breaking news this morning. You can check it out over at Talking Points Memo about none other than Harry Reid. Senate Minority Leader Harry Reid will not seek reelection. Nicole, this is what the fourth major Democratic candidate saying they are not going to run next year. What do you make of Harry Reid retiring?
Well, I mean, in truth, with Harry Reid, you know, he's had that injury from exercising, he trashed his eye. He's 75 years old. This is not an unreasonable expectation. I am not a big fan of any elected office being a lifetime appointment. So I think that's fine. I've had my quibbles with Harry Reid here and there, but overall, he's been a really effective leader in terms of keeping his caucus whipped into shape. So, you know, more power to him. I'm a little nervous, frankly, about what's going to happen now. You know, I did some quick Googling before I came on to see if Durbin has announced that he's retired. And there's definitely some rumors that he, too, may retire.
Really?
But nothing's been announced yet. And he was my first thought in terms of who was going to replace Harry Reid was Dick Durbin. If Durbin's not there, then I think it's probably going to be Chuck Schumer, which frankly is a shame because I don't think that Chuck's strong point is actually being a Senate leader. I think his strong point is getting in front of a TV set camera. But I'd like to see Patty Murray. I think that would be, she's really, really strong. She's much more progressive than Chuck Schumer is or Dick Durbin. And I think that Republicans continually underestimate her.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, you know, Nancy Pelosi has done a phenomenal job overall. Perhaps it's time for a woman leading the Senate Democrats as well.
I'd like to see it. I think it's beyond time to see. And frankly, if we look at what the men are doing, Shane, please don't be offended by this. Please. If you look at what men have been doing in Senate leadership this year, I'm not too proud of that. I'm not too proud of what's going on when we're, you know, legislating against women's reproductive rights, when we are talking about taking health care away from millions of Americans, when we have to actually in 2015 explain why, you know, setting up prayer is unconstitutional, or saying that it's okay to discriminate against gay people because of your religious beliefs. I'm like, no. It's time for the men to sit down and let the women
yes.
have some control.
Absolutely. In fact, we've seen some examples of that, although it's a congressperson, not a senator. Congressman Pete Sessions, on the floor of the House yesterday, I believe it was yesterday, it might have been earlier this week, we've heard from many Republicans. They are not scientists. They have made that abundantly clear. Apparently, also not math professors. Do we have that clip, Shano?
One of the questions I asked him yesterday was, Mr. Price, how much does the Affordable Care Act, known as Obamacare, cost the taxpayer in the budget? He said, you know, I don't know, but I'll get back to you. Well, by the end of the hearing, he said $108 billion. $108 billion. Mr. Speaker, if that's true, and if I accept figures that the gentlewoman, the ranking member of the committee, said of the number of people who are on Obamacare, Affordable Care Act, about 12 million, if you just do simple multiplication, 12 million into $108 billion, we're talking literally every single recipient would be costing this government more than $5 million per person for their insurance.
Nicole, what can you even say about that? 12 into 108.
Math is apparently hard. Maybe this is that new Common Core. I don't know. But that, I mean, I'm just sitting there and trying to wrap my head around just the face value logic of that.
Mm-hmm.
Are you seriously telling me that insurance, private insurance that the people have to purchase on their own? This is not Medicare. This is not giving them money. This is, they have to purchase it maybe with some subsidies. Is costing them $5 million?
And costing the government just in the subsidies.
Yeah.
The thing is that
that's a hell of a good insurance plan.
$12 million into $108 billion is $9,000
right.
per person. When you actually do the math, it's $9,000. He was off. It wasn't even that he missed a couple zeros. I don't even know where he came up with the five.
Right.
It's $9,000 when you do the math, and it's division, not multiplication, which
right.
is even funnier.
Now, I realize this is, you know, probably speaking off the cuff, but you're a United States congressman. You'd think that, you know, you pull out your phone and do some brief calculations before speaking on behalf of your constituents. Right?
Well, you would think. You would think. And honestly, you're going to be surprised where I'm going to go with this. This is where I blame Nancy Pelosi.
Okay.
Because we never, ever, ever have accountability for anything anyone in Congress ever says. Ever. And this started back, you know, this started back when Nancy Pelosi took impeachment off the table. It started back when she said nothing, when Joe Wilson yelled, "You lied," during the State of the Union address. There's just this constant bombardment of lies
yeah.
that the American people are told all the time.
And you know? And you have two groups of Americans, you know, listening, and you have the ones that buy the lies and the ones who hear them and really want someone to challenge them, and they're still waiting on a lot of those answers. Nicole will be with us this whole hour, so anything goes Friday. Give us a call. Questions, comments, we are here to take them all.
This is the Tom Hartman Program.
Political pundit and a brilliant individual, Nicole Bell, with us. Your calls coming up next. Welcome back to the Tom Hartman Program. I am Danielle, here with Shano, in for Tom, and with special guest Nicole Bell for Anything Goes with Nicole Bell, right here on the Tom Hartman Program. Nicole, are you ready to take some calls?
I'm ready.
All right, let's give it a shot. Let's check in with Jared watching on Free Speech TV in Burlington, Vermont. Jared, thanks for watching the Tom Hartman program.
Hi, Stephanie. My congratulations to you all. I have a question for Nicole.
Okay.
There was an op-ed in the New York Times yesterday, quote, "To stop Iran's bomb, bomb Iran." It was written by your friend and mine, Mr. Bolton.
Right.
Okay, what's your question, Jared?
Well, I would like to hear what Nicole and Shana, you know, it just seems to me that is just counterproductive to everything we stand for.
Yep, absolutely. All right. Well, let's get Nicole's thoughts on that. Nicole, everybody's favorite warmonger, John Bolton?
Right. Everybody's favorite war profiteer, I think. I agree with you completely. There's absolutely no reason for us to bomb Iran. And I will take this further. I don't actually care if Iran is developing a nuclear bomb. I don't. Because the whole purpose of a nuclear bomb is to be a deterrent. It is not to be used offensively. It is not used in a war of aggression. That is a method to keep other people from attacking you.
Right.
And that's the thing that, if you look at a map of Iran and all the countries surrounding it, there's a whole hell of a lot of nuclear bombs around there and in states that are not at all stable.
Very much so. And states that threaten.
I don't care if they've got a nuclear bomb. I really don't. And I'm kind of tired of this cartoonish, James Bond kind of Dr. Evil idea that, you know, there are some ruling mullahs in Iran, you know, cackling maniacally, you know, petting a cat saying, oh, if we have the bomb, we're going to attack. Because that's not what a nuclear bomb does. You launch a nuclear bomb, you know that you've got 5 minutes to live.
Yeah,
because somebody's going to launch one right against you right immediately.
Mutually assured destruction. If it ever comes to that point in any country, I think all bets are off and we've all lost. Yeah.
Right.
All right. Let's check in with Flo, listening at TomHartman.com in Fort Lauderdale, Florida. Flo, thanks for listening to the Tom Hartman program and hanging out with us and Nicole Bell.
Oh, Danielle, I love it because Tom doesn't put repeats on and we actually get to talk to someone like you. And I have a comment about crooks and liars. This was a few years ago. The only place I could find out any information was on the Crooks and Liars. Now it's in the archives. But there was a Florida prosecutor that was on a sting. They caught him. And he was molesting little girls. He'd take them away, and they caught him in another state. It was a sting. And the only place I heard about it, I'm residing in Florida. He was on Gulf Breeze Atkins. And they had the story on there. So I think they're very informative, and I do appreciate Crooks and Liars' website. Also, on Patty Murray, she's okay. Yes, she's strong. But she was on the Bowles-Simpson Deficit Commission, and she voted to make structural changes to our Social Security. And so I remember calling her office and complaining about it.
Okay.
No, that's a good point. I forgot about the Bowles-Simpson thing. And that is something we absolutely, I think, Democrats need to take a very strong stand about. And I know that I keep hearing that Elizabeth Warren should be the Senate leader. I keep seeing things through my Facebook feed of different groups. I love Elizabeth Warren. I am a huge fan of hers. And she is undoubtedly progressive in that regard. But I also feel like people who are pushing Elizabeth Warren don't have a real clear understanding of what the role of the Senate leader actually does, because I don't think that's in her wheelhouse. With all due respect to her, I mean, you need to be tough and negotiate with Republicans and whip up your caucus and get the votes and, you know, make deals. And that's not what she does. She's really, really good at consolidating and informing us of the progressive policies. But in terms of the nitty-gritty, ugly sausage making of Congress, that I don't see that as being her thing. And I do see that with Patty Murray.
And one point about Elizabeth Warren, I think that part that you just mentioned about her somewhat staunch refusal to negotiate with Republicans is one of the points we love about her and don't want to change. I mean, she has Wall Street shaking in their boots so much. They came out yesterday. Over at Reuters, representatives from Citigroup, J.P. Morgan, Goldman Sachs, Bank of America, etc., are threatening to pull funding from the Democratic Party if they don't soften Warren's rhetoric and soften the rhetoric of Sherrod Brown. Yet it's like that would just make me love her more.
Exactly, and I think that unfortunately there's a bubble around the Beltway where they get the more conservative point of view on these things, but if you were outside the Beltway, that would have voters cheering you.
Yeah.
They need to know that is exactly what we want them to do, to have them so scared that they've got the banking industry saying, we're not going to give you money, because you know that's not true.
Right, and I mean, that's why I think her being in charge of the Senate Banking Committee is, or, you know, a strong leader there is
right.
so important right where she is.
Right.
Shane, do we have time for one more call?
We do not. Sorry.
Okay. We did some quick math, and we used calculators, Nicole, unlike Pete's session. We did
we
use calculators.
We have 5 million minutes left.
We have 5 million minutes left. No, this Reuters article, so not inside the Beltway, says the amount of money at stake for each of these banks is a maximum of $15,000 per bank. It means the gesture is rather symbolic. But if you just look at Citigroup's subsidiaries, of which there are 663, you're talking about $10 million. Maybe that's what Pete Session was talking about?
Maybe.
Lots more in store here at the Tom Hartman Program. Anything Goes Friday with Nicole Bell. Stick around.
You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program. Call 202-536-2370.
What's on your mind? It's Friday. The inquiring minds here at the Tom Hartman Program would like to know. Welcome back to the Tom Hartman Program. I am Danielle, here with Shane O. and our special guest, Nicole Bell, political pundit and former editor-in-chief at Crooks and Liars, crooksandliars.com. And you can follow Nicole on Twitter, at Nicole Bell. Nicole, you still with us? You having fun?
I'm having a lot of fun.
It is.
Nicole has sparked quite a debate in the chat room, as she knows.
Yes, about nuclear weapons.
Yes.
Oh, dear.
No,
that's good.
The chat room is filled with brilliant people who make well-reasoned arguments, however they view the situation. So interesting discussion going on in the chat room over at TomHartman.com. If you want to log in and add your opinion.
It's free.
You ready to get back to calls?
Let's do it.
All right. Let's check in with Norma, watching on Free Speech TV in Montgomery, Alabama. Norma, thanks for calling in to chat with us and Nicole Bell.
Oh, well, thank you for taking my call.
Absolutely.
Earlier, when I heard her talking about Harry Reid retiring, I wanted to make sure that the people across the country understand that next year when we're electing a president, we also have 34 senators up for reelection. One of my senators, Senator Richard Shelby, has had his seat. He has owned it for 45 years.
Wow.
He'll be 82 at the time of the election. And I'd like for people to take a good look at who represents them, because, you know, we need some help in the Senate. We can't, you know, we cannot go on the way we've been going.
Absolutely. Well, Norma, excellent point. Let's let Nicole jump in there. But a lot of these seats seem to be lifetime appointments.
Yeah, they do. And I just think that's fundamentally wrong and undemocratic. And Norma, God bless you for saying that. I have been saying this for years, and it's one of those things that has me knocking my head against walls because, you know, I keep seeing people talking about how Elizabeth Warren can be this great liberal hope and we should elect her president and all this stuff. And I'm like, don't you people understand? We need liberals like Elizabeth Warren in Congress. We need her in the Senate. We need to fight for more of her in the Senate.
Especially with all of these.
More of her in the House.
Right. Especially with all of these people retiring. People who, I mean, it kind of goes against my statement criticizing lifetime appointments. But when you have, you know, Mikulski and Barbara Boxer and now Harry Reid, we need her there more than ever.
Exactly. And let's be clear. You could elect Bernie Sanders, and let me be the first one to say I will be doing cartwheels if Bernie Sanders ever actually made it to the White House. But you could elect Bernie Sanders, and we still won't get anything close to progressive politics if you don't have people in the House and the Senate to vote on legislation.
Yeah.
This single progressive savior complex that too many liberals have is hurting us.
Yeah, Tom calls it the great man theory of
every single election, and we need to vote for people in every office, not just the president.
Just curious, what do you think of what Oregon's doing, automatically registering for people for voting, and the president's kind of offhand remark, you know, if we had mandatory voting like in other countries?
I'm actually a big proponent of it. You know, it works in other countries. I think that is your minimal obligation as a citizen of this country.
Yeah.
And we're, you know, when we are the wealthiest country in the world and only, 45% of the citizens actually bother to let their voice be known, that's wrong. That's not a democracy. And it bothers me hugely that we are allowing an oligarchy, for all intents and purposes, to be created because we're not voting.
Yeah. And everybody now understands why we love to talk to Nicole Bell. Let's check in with Kenny listening on TuneIn in Birmingham, Alabama. Thanks for listening to the Tom Hartman program, Kenny.
Oh, great. I have made it in life.
Yes.
Oh, man, this is good. Okay, let me get quick to the point. I was listening to Stephanie Miller. I'm sorry to mention another show. But I understand Pat Robertson made this gave this speech to, a Pat Robertson audience about this hypothetical atheist family, man, woman, two girls, guys break in, brutally raped, murdered, tortured, the guy's family in front of them, and decapitates the mother and cuts the man off his shorts. Yeah. This is Pat Robertson giving
This is the Duck Dynasty. What do you think of that, Nicole?
Oh, I see.
I thought you were thinking Pat Robertson.
I think he's talking about there was a bunch of stories
about Phil
Robertson, I believe it
is. Phil Robertson.
I honestly
think Phil Robertson is crazy, and I can't understand for the life of me why anyone gives him a platform.
Yeah,
there's a guy. I live in San Francisco. There's a guy who sits at the foot of Market Street near the cable car turnaround, and he sits there and spouts off crazy stuff too. I mean, he talks about how Elvis is still alive and how aliens have come in and they've, you know, invaded his brain and that there's this new world order. He does all sorts of insane stuff, but no one pays him to go and speak in front of an audience.
Yeah.
That's what I think Phil Robertson is. I don't understand why anyone pays Phil Robertson to speak because he's crazy.
I don't get it either. I really don't. And I am a lot of my best friends are self-proclaimed rednecks. You know, they love playing in the mud and fishing and hunting and all of the stuff that he claims to love. And I cannot understand why the conservative movement, the Republican movement, keeps putting this guy in front of a microphone.
Yeah. I mean, and, you know, if he's doing this by virtue of being a Christian, I just want to ask him where Jesus said to hate.
Yeah. Amen. No pun intended. Let's check in with John, Dakota John, in South Dakota, watching on Free Speech TV. Thanks for hanging out with us today, John.
Thank you. I just want to say that I think it's time for an adult conversation. And I think Tom's program is one of the rare shows that actually has adult conversation. And, you know, out here in South Dakota, really what people need is just an education and to know what our real threat is. And there's three words that need to be repeated over and over on the progressive programs. And I challenge all the people that have progressive radio and television programs to keep using these three words over.
Okay.
Constantly. Those three words are Arctic methane release. And once people start looking into this, they will start to not think about Ebola and ISIS as our real threat.
John, I completely agree. Let's just let Nicole jump in here. But education in general, especially when it comes to climate change and the methane release, I think would be very important.
If I could say something real quick.
Sure.
If you go over to lasthours.com.
Lasthours.org.
.org, I'm sorry.
.org.
There's a video right. that Tom put together about methane gas releases
yes.
exclusively. So.
Yes. But Nicole, any thoughts on that?
No, I was actually going to say lasthours.org.
You stole
but,
Nicole's thunder.
I will say, I just saw a thing on my local news, which amazed me because I haven't seen it on any of the 24-hour news stations, but I saw on my local news that they have recorded a temperature in the Antarctic of 63 degrees.
In the Antarctic?
In the Antarctic. Think about that.
Wow.
I mean, yes. You know what? ISIS are icky people. You know... Frankly, Phil Robertson is an icky person. I don't fear them nearly as much as I do the thought that the Antarctic has 63-degree weather.
Yeah. I mean, you remember a few months ago, it made international headlines about the massive blowhole in Siberia. Everybody was trying to figure out what it was, what it came from. But you don't hear that there's been dozens more of these, and they've pretty much been definitively linked to climate change.
Right.
Yeah.
And see, and the thing about climate change is, for me, I take this as a simply pragmatic thing. What if we're wrong? If we're wrong, okay, we've taken a few steps, unnecessary steps. If we're right, we save humanity.
Yeah.
You know, cost benefit. Let's look at that.
Oh, that sounds like math and science again.
I
and
know,
we
I have, hate it when that happens.
Yeah, we have so much evidence that Republicans don't do that. That's icky. Okay, let's check in with Patty listening on KBCS in Harstein Island, Washington. Am I totally mispronouncing the name of your city, Patty? I apologize.
No, you did absolutely perfect, Danielle.
Okay.
I have two questions concerning math. One is Mrs. Ted Cruz has taken a leave of absence. She's worked for Goldman Sachs for 10 years. She's an executive. My first question is, how much money did she reap as an executive during the Bush bailout? Second question, how did her husband pay for Harvard?
Okay. For anybody who didn't hear that, Patty, I'm going to drop you because your phone's breaking up a little bit there. But the questions were, how much money did she possibly get in the bailout because she's worked for Goldman Sachs in the last 10 years? And how did Ted Cruz pay for his Harvard education? I don't know the answer to either. Those are pretty specific. Nicole, do you happen to have any idea on those?
I honestly don't. I do know that Ted Cruz has refused to release any information about his wife's salary. I also know that because his wife took a leave of absence, Ted Cruz had to sign up this week for Obamacare, literally a day after, say, announcing his candidacy and saying that one of the first things he was going to do is repeal Obamacare. And my favorite story of the week, absolute favorite story of the week, is that, you know, the best way to get to Obamacare to sign up?
One second. Save your punchline.
You're listening to Tom Hartman. Visit TomHartman.com for audio and video archives.
Okay, go.
Go to TedCruzForAmerica.com.
Oh, that is awesome. We'll be back with more Nicole Bell. Stick around. Welcome back to the Tom Hartman program on Free Speech TV.
Can I also say on Ted Cruz in Harvard? Now, this is from Ted Cruz, so take it with a grain of salt. He did mention during his speech he had just paid off his school loans a few years ago. So I would imagine that there were loans involved, if that's, you know, true, et cetera. So.
All right. Duly noted. Let's check in with John watching on Free Speech TV in Minneapolis, Minnesota. John, thanks for hanging out with us today.
Oh, you're welcome. Hi, Danielle. Yeah, I just wanted to say, you know, and I've noticed this quite often, that when, you know, there's a conversation with the right they often just out and out lie, and they propagate lies often. Like, for instance, I just happened to be listening to Rush Limbaugh. I was down visiting my mother in Florida. She's in a nursing home, and there was really no radio. She lives in an exurb, and just going through the dial, and I happened to hear Rush Limbaugh say that the Occupy movement was a manufactured movement. And I just thought, well, that's just ridiculous. I think I'm pretty well-versed in politics and history and whatnot. I was just absolutely surprised that Occupy, you know, just sort of came out of nowhere. Maybe I'm wrong about that, but I was talking with somebody. I was on vacation before Occupy in New York, and I said, oh, the movements are dead and the union movement's going down the tube. She was a communication worker, had been retired.
John, not to cut you off, but we only have so much time in this break. What's your question for Nicole?
Well, my question is, you know, how do we deal with that? Because they get these lies out there, and then they only talk amongst themselves. So it's like they're having their conversation, and we're having ours. And I know for a fact if Tom brings something up, I mean, nobody is 100%, but, you know, he tries to have some facts behind it, you know, what you're saying.
Okay.
And I've noticed with conversations that he has with conservatives, they will just – they don't obey the rules of rhetoric. This isn't high rhetoric. The level of rhetoric and discussion has just gone down the crapper. I mean,
yeah. So how do we challenge lies and propaganda? It's an awfully big question. What's your thoughts as somebody who worked in directly doing that and disputing the lies in Republican networks?
I think you can only do so much. I honestly do. Because bottom line, it's not penetrating. I don't want to sound nihilistic, but the reality is that there's about 30% of the American electorate that is never going to be swayed by facts. It's all about confirmation. It's all about, you know, believing the ugliness. It's tapping into that ugly lizard brain and going in and going there. And that's the people that Rush Limbaugh appeals to. The only thing that I think any of us can do, and I do it on Twitter, I do it on Facebook, I did it at Crooks and Liars, is to keep reiterating the facts, because there is a 20 to 25% of the electorate that is swayable.
Yeah.
And those are the people you have to talk to.
I certainly agree. And I think as progressives, as Democrats, as liberals, whatever name you want to call it, we have to spend more time focusing on facts and responding, just like you said, instead of addressing everything in the Republicans' context, in the context that they create over at Fox News, and then constantly just responding to Fox News. But that's my opinion. More with Nicole Bell right after this. Welcome back to the Tom Hartman Program with me, Shane O, and Nicole Bell, taking your calls, going through them brilliantly. Thank you again so much, Nicole, for joining us. And for anybody who is just tuning in, this is Nicole Bell, political pundit, former editor-in-chief at Crooks and Liars, and you can follow her on Twitter, at Nicole Bell. And in my opinion, one of the smartest people out there.
Wow.
All right. Let's check in with Tim on Free Speech TV in Minden City, Michigan. Let's make sure my system is working. Okay, let's see if I can pick up a different call. Let's check in with David on KPHX.com in San Francisco, California. David, thanks for listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
Hey, greetings. You know, I was actually listening from the Monterey station, but now I hear you're on KPHX. I'll check over there. I didn't realize you had a local affiliate. Hey, you know, I was kind of interested. I think these Republicans are just, I mean, they're obviously shilling for the big polluters. If global warming is caused by big polluters and lawsuits could prove that, then they would have... There may not be enough money on the planet to be able to pay for the cleanup of damage of the ozone layer, much less, you know, climate change or the ruination of the rainforests or Fukushima. There may not be enough money on the planet Now, we still need to save the planet, so eventually we're going to have to go off budget. Now, I would think that the reason why they fight so hard to deny that global warming is even happening or any of these pollution things, look at Koch Industries. Koch Industries are polluters. Their granddaddies were polluters.
Yep.
And so that is their motivation. And
absolutely. David, do you have a question in there, or is this just a general comment and want Nicole's thoughts on that?
Well, I it could have, you know, some of both. And as a matter of fact, I guess an earlier mention, you were talking about what was going on in Iran. I work in an energy, a nonprofit. It's called Abalone Alliance out here in San Francisco. And we're basically a research library about hazardous wastes and nuclear wastes and whatnot. And if you look at what's going on in Iran, that was a plant that was designed to be built by the Ayatollah some 35 years ago. And it was a bidding war between General Electric and Westinghouse, and they're still bidding on it. And so the idea that they're trying to crush their competition using foreign policy in order to justify them getting the contract to build the plant, because it really doesn't – they tried to tell us back in 1954 with the Atoms for Peace program that the nuclear power plant down the road was as safe as milk.
Yeah.
And that we didn't have to worry about that. You can't build a bomb out of a nuclear power plant. Well, yeah. Not Netanyahu came to Congress here.
David, I don't mean to cut you off. You have a lot there, and we only have a few minutes left, so I want to get Nicole a chance to weigh in. But it all sounds like really interesting information. I personally hadn't heard the General Electric Westinghouse background. Nicole, have you heard of that?
No, I haven't. And actually, that makes me question why these think tanks and stuff are so insistent that Iran is building a nuclear weapons manufacturing plant rather than a nuclear power plant. Because if General Electric or Westinghouse has anything to do with it, obviously they would know specifically because they got the plans, right?
Yeah, you would certainly think so. Okay, sorry. Nicole Bell here with us, and let's check in with Mark on New York, listening on WCPT.com. Mark, you also had some thoughts on Iran.
Yes, I did. Hey, Danielle.
Hey.
Nicole, first I have to say that Crooks and Lies is like my favorite website for years and years.
Oh, good.
For political discussion. It's great. Although I think I do differ with you a little bit with your stance with Iran getting a nuclear weapon. It's a little bit cavalier because I think the main object is non-proliferation. And even covertly, if Iran already may even have a bomb. But I think the main idea is that to prevent the public from realizing that once Iran has a bomb, then Saudi Arabia will have a bomb, and the Arab Emirates will have a bomb, and sooner or later, everyone's going to have a bomb, and the Middle East will turn into Gorilla Glass, you know, because sand fuses at, I don't know, how many degrees, and if there's nuclear explosions, it'll all be flat glass.
All right, well, let's give Nicole a chance. Do you think it'll be a case of me too? I believe we heard some rumblings out of Saudi Arabia about something similar.
Well, I mean, it becomes sort of this self-fulfilling prophecy, I think, as far as Saudi Arabia and the United Arab Emirates and the other Arab nations. But I have to differ with you about the whole idea of the Middle East becoming glass. Again, the whole purpose of nuclear weapons, and I don't disagree with you in any way about trying to encourage nonproliferation, and I should point out that Iran is a signatory to the Nuclear Nonproliferation Treaty. We are not. Israel is not.
Wow.
So, you know, I worry less about that than maybe I should. I don't know. But I don't see it because nuclear weapons are designed never to be used. Because as soon as you use them, you're dead. And nobody is that suicidal. You know, I would be much more concerned about the actual nuclear weapons we know exist in Syria and in some other very unstable states than I would be about Iran, who in the last 175 years has never invaded or gone aggressively into war with any other nation. I would be much more concerned about those nuclear weapons than Iran actually, you know, having one.
Yeah, and certainly if we're going to talk about nuclear, we need to talk about nuclear energy and why we're still playing this game and pretending that it's safe. I can't believe this hour is already up, Nicole. Any 10 seconds, last words?
Put me on the spot. I don't. I just want to tell you that you guys are a delight, and I've been listening all week, and you guys are wonderful.
Aw.
Tom has a great pair of the two of you.
He has a great staff in general. Nicole Bell, everyone.
You're listening to Tom Hartman.
Hey friends, Tom Hartman here. Thanks so much for watching and listening to the program. The Tom Hartman program is brought to you in part by the following underwriters. Identity Guard. Count on us to help protect what makes you, you. WIX.com. Everyone deserves to have their own website. ITMTrading.com. America's source for rare coins and precious metals. BostonBeer.com. Boston Beer, maker of handcrafted beers. Geico.com. Providers of insurance. IdentityGuard.com, total protection. Quicken Loans, engineered to amaze. And EcoWine.com, your source for organic wine since 1980. These underwriters support our show, so please help by supporting the people who make this program possible. You can learn more at TomHartman.com.
This is the Tom Hartman Program.
Welcome back to the Tom Hartman Program. I'm Danielle here with Shano in for one last day here for Tom. Tom will be back on Monday.
And we should mention today that it's anything goes. If you call in, it does not count. Yeah, there's kind of a rule around here once a week. But since Tom is going to be coming back, we'll reset, you know, the automation,
yep,
so to speak, so everyone can talk to Tom, because I know they're going to be itching to.
Yes.
I know I am.
Yes.
So.
We miss him dearly. But you can hear him speak if you're
right,
in L.A. this weekend. The 28th and 29th, Tom will be speaking on Saturday at Sister Giant 3, presented by Marianne Williamson, along with former Congressman Dennis Kucinich, Senator Bernie Sanders. And for tickets and information, you can go to sistergiant.com. You can check it out at tomhartman.com. And you can even watch it on live stream. So if you're not in the area, you can still, you know, listen and participate in a great event. Which is the wonders of modern technology.
Mm-hmm.
And Shano, the chat room would like to would like an explanation on your shirt.
Well, for those of you watching on television, I'm wearing a shirt that really doesn't fit my personality very much.
No.
This is not something that I would normally wear, but, you know.
Oh, and remember, Friday is Hawaiian shirt day. So, you know, if you want to, go ahead and wear a Hawaiian shirt and jeans.
Yes.
And for those watching on television, I've worn a different shirt every day to kind of signify the day.
Yes.
Or some different message. I had my Michigan shirt, my free speech shirt, my mass shirt.
Yes.
So this is my Friday shirt in it, and we'll be visiting the Goodwill sometime.
I've never done this. I didn't get the memo. I didn't get the memo.
That's Jim didn't get the memo.
Yes. We didn't tell Jim. He wasn't in on the joke.
And his TPS reports are a mess.
Yes. And anybody who hasn't seen Office Space totally doesn't get all these jokes.
That's all right.
But that's fine. If you haven't seen it, go see it. Yes.
We just drove this show into the ditch. I'm sorry.
Well, because Nicole Bell is not here to keep us on track.
That's
and
what it
not
is.
Saying smart things anymore. But there are lots of people who want to weigh in, many of whom may or may not have left a comment on Congresswoman Kathy McMorris Rogers' Facebook page.
It's so great.
Yes. We have established that Republicans are not scientists. They're not mathematicians.
No.
Also not tech gurus.
Or
at least some of them are not.
Well, I really think essentially what's happened here is she put up a Facebook post saying, I'll read from it, actually. This week marks the fifth anniversary of Obamacare being signed into law. Whether it's turned your tax filing into a nightmare, you're facing skyrocketing premiums, or your employer has reduced your work hours, I want to hear about it.
Yes.
And she heard about what people think about Obamacare, and it's not what she expected. And my theory is that, you know, living inside the GOP bubble and only watching the Fox News and listening to right-wing talk hate radio, that they trot out, the host of those shows, a few anecdotes of people who are kind of not as informed about all of their options and say, I hate Obamacare, and this is my horror story. And they get a handful of them, and they keep banging those five stories. And then those who consume that quote-unquote news then think that, extrapolate that across the entire population and think that everyone has a horror story. She's found out, Kathy McMorris Rodgers, quite the antithesis of that.
Right. There are, I believe, hundreds of comments on her Facebook page now of people sharing their successful stories of Obamacare. You could check out some of them over at Alternet or at the Daily Coast, or just, you know, find her page on Facebook. But, for example, one individual says, I work for Cancer Care Northwest. We actually have more patients with insurance and fewer having to choose treatment over bankruptcy. Kathy, I'm a diehard conservative, and I'm asking you to stop just slamming Obamacare. Fix it, change it, or come up with a better idea. Thanks.
There's one here. I think we should repeal Obamacare and replace it with universal socialized medicine, like the rest of the industrialized nations of the world.
And then one who asked the question, I am genuinely asking, why don't you ask for people to tell their stories instead of just asking for negatives? If you honestly want to help Americans, you need all the stories and weigh what's best based on the facts, not based on what you want to hear.
I will give them credit for, you know, a lot of places would have deleted all these positive comments.
Absolutely.
So, I mean, credit to her and her office for leaving all of these comments up there. I hope that they read them all.
Yeah, maybe.
You know, I like being able to read them. I'd love to hear yours if you have them. You know, that's kind of an everyday spiel here that we want to hear about it, especially on the fifth anniversary, which we didn't cover at great length here.
Right.
So, you know, 5 years in, the world hasn't exploded.
Right.
And Rush Limbaugh hasn't moved. He claimed he was going to.
He threatened it.
Yeah, he did.
And I think Sean Hannity. And I think Sean Hannity threatened to move out of New York, didn't he?
I can't keep track. I don't know.
Lots of people still want to get in here today. It is Anything Goes. We are going to be taking your calls, and I hear the phones ringing off the hook back there. Please be nice to Troy. Let's check in with Dale, watching on DirecTV in Harmony, North Carolina. Thanks so much for hanging out with us today, Dale.
Okay. I was needing to talk to Nicole about the wet milling of these cereal grains and making ethanol there, and they use the sulfuric acid in it. Then those byproducts are coming into all kinds of animal food and pet food and everything. It's causing a lot of severe neurological damage in the animals and everything.
Yeah, Dale, can I back you up just a second? Because as the one who normally answers the phones, I'm familiar with the story you're talking about. You are a farmer, and yes. You've seen the effect that these, what's being done to the feed that's actually going into farm animals and what it's doing to your cattle, right?
Yes, yes.
Okay.
And it's the most horrible death you'll ever see an animal die from. And the doctors seem to just get red-faced. They had a big meeting here in the county Wednesday, and they just seemed to get red-faced and said that they didn't have time to address our questions. But when we took the lunch break and come back after lunch and they're going to have time to address the questions, those doctors did not show back up at the meeting.
Yep.
Interesting.
Dale, it's a topic that I think most people are so unaware of, and I commend you for calling in as often as possible. I'm sure you have a lot of work on your hands, but as often as possible to share this and working in your local legislature. Is there anywhere, a website or a way people can find out more?
They're trying to cover it up. I've got the Food and Drug Administration. We've turned in the most information that they've ever had turned into them on this.
Wow.
And I've even called FBI in because the State Agriculture Department and the State Bureau of Investigation, they're together. They won't even start an investigation on the corruption in this right here. And the FBI, they said they would not investigate until after the Food and Drug had done their investigation.
Well, I'm I'm sure they have their policies. I don't know what those would be, but I commend
after
you.
After the FDA looks into it or doesn't look into it, you just give us a call back and update us as to, you know, what they do or didn't do, if that's possible.
Hey, if an hour, it'd take me an hour or two to explain this to you.
Well, please, if you have a website, post it over at at the Tom Hartman Facebook page or on the website so people can find out more. It goes right in with the ag gag laws.
Sure.
We're talking about, you know, hearing from an actual farmer.
Right.
Somebody who cares about his animals, and he's trying to make life better for them. He doesn't like seeing them be, you know, sickened by this
poisoned
feed. Poisoned. You know, it's interesting what real farmers have to say about it.
We have time for one quick one.
One quick one. Let's check in with John in Oak Park, Illinois, listening on WCPT. Thanks for listening to WCPT, John. Quick point?
Yes, very simple. I think we should make a law, federal law, that all veterans and their immediate family be allowed to vote. Period.
Who's denying veterans the right to vote?
A spot in the country where the Republicans are reducing people the right to vote.
Oh, you mean in states where with voter disenfranchisement laws?
Right.
Okay. Make a law that supersedes a federal law that says no veteran can be denied the right to vote?
Yeah, an automatic registration, perhaps. You know, like they.
I see absolutely no problem with that, John. I think it's a brilliant idea. Maybe you should give Bernie Sanders' office a call. He does care strongly about veterans' issues, and if you serve our country, the very, very, very least we could do is make sure that you have a right to participate in this democracy. We'll be back. Stick around.
This is the Tom Hartman Program.
We'll be back with more of your calls right here on the Tom Hartman Program. Stick around. Welcome back to the Tom Hartman Program here on Free Speech TV. Thank you, by the way, for spending your afternoon or morning, depending on where
you're helping us guest host all week.
That's right.
This is essentially what Tom's callers have done.
Yes.
Period. You guys all guest hosted with us, and we really appreciate it very
much.
Yes,
producer credit for all Tom Hartman viewers and listeners. Absolutely. If we had space in the credits at the end, we would put it there. But it might be a few names. Let's check in with Patricia, watching on DirecTV in Portage, Wisconsin. Thanks so much for watching Free Speech TV, Patricia.
You're welcome. I want to bring in, you said run wild, so I'm going to go to the other 99.999% of the species that are being destroyed on this planet. 52% of all wildlife has been destroyed on the whole planet in the last 40 years.
Yeah.
We are told that that is going to be exponential, not linear. It's not going to take 40 years to kill off the rest of the planet. And we need, you know, we need progressive talk shows to talk about this as much as they talk about climate change, because every state in this run on the wildlife management is run on killing licenses.
Yeah,
so
Patricia, just out of curiosity, did you see a recent story just came out, I believe, this week? I've seen it in a few different places about the fact that we only have two essentially large areas of forest, large areas of untouched forests in the entire world left, and what just simply paving a road through a forest does to wildlife and how quickly it obliterates biodiversity in the area?
Yeah, but it's not just, it's so many factors.
Yeah.
Change. It's hunting, trapping. Trapping has tripled since 2009. We have sent out 11.7 million pelts out of this country to China to have ermine-covered toiletries. I mean, we are nuts. And if we don't, I mean, we are so homocentric. We are such an arrogant species that we only talk about our politics and our stuff that is destroying the planet. And we really have to, if we're going to have a planet, we're going to have to talk about other species and care about them. We have to care. Large mammals are going off this planet. And our speech reflects it. Like your guest was saying, oh, that lizard brain. Well, we're destroying lizards. We're destroying amphibians. We're destroying our oceans. We cannot live on this planet. We are threatened. that human extinction is going to be caught between the methane spews of the Arctic, 100,000 gigatons of methane being exposed with climate change. We won't breathe methane, nor will any other species. And the we give us so little attention, even on progressive talk shows. And if we don't start focusing on other species and get off our own arrogance, then we are going to lose this whole world.
Yeah.
And it's not, it's serious.
Yeah, Patricia, I don't disagree at all. And maybe this is a you know, selfish comment, but we can't even get people to care about their own lives, about the fact that they're being poisoned. I don't know how to get them to care about more, and perhaps that's a conversation we need to have. It affects everything, not to mention just decency, just the fact that, you know, this is life. You want to be pro-life out there, be pro-all life. Excellent point, Patricia. Thank you very much for sharing it. To the Tom Hartman Program. I'm Danielle, here with Shane O, sitting in for Tom one last day. He will be back on Monday.
Yay.
I promise. And taking your calls, it's Anything Goes Friday. Lots of great topics that were covered this week that we didn't have time to cover. So much going on in the news. It's been a very, very big news week. So,
and I know that our last question yesterday was right up against the end of the show, and then I got some tweets about it afterwards as well. And the question was, following through on the 47 traders hashtag and the petition, and what is the government doing? And if they aren't doing anything, why aren't they? Of course, the 47 senators who signed a letter to the leaders of Iran saying, essentially, you can make a deal all you want with Barack Obama, but if we get another president there, we're not going to honor that agreement. Many people felt that that was traitorous.
Yes, about 300,000 of them, sure, at least, at WhiteHouse.gov.
And we did cover it, I think, Monday or Tuesday, and you mentioned where the petition had gotten to. We were wondering when the White House would respond, because it's well over the signatures required for a White House response. And the specific question I was getting is, why aren't they being prosecuted? And now, while Tom spoke a lot here about it and how it was, he believed, treasonous and immoral and all of those things. When Tom spoke about it, and this is my opinion, I won't speak for Tom here, in terms of an actual criminal statute that was violated, that's what we would have to look at in terms of the White House or the Justice Department going actually and prosecuting these folks. So we'd have to find a criminal law that they broke by sending this letter. And I know, while it feels treasonous and it feels like they were doing something against our president and that they shouldn't have been meddling in foreign affairs and all of those things, we still have to go and find a law that they broke. And so there's about three. I've done some actual research on this over the weeks to see. There is, of course, the laws against treason. Laws against treason are a pretty high standard. You essentially have to, you know, be in a war against a foreign country and go help the foreign country. That's treason. That's not what they did. Two, there's sedition. Sedition is not just speaking out or saying something terrible about your government. We have the First Amendment here. We actually want, we encourage that political discussion. Sedition is when you use force, and it's actually conspiracy to commit sedition. It's a group of people getting together planning to use force to bring down the government. That's not what these senators did. And you also have the Logan Act. And the State Department itself has said that Congress people can have an opinion on foreign policy because they advise and consent, and they are not subject to the Logan Act. The Logan Act is about individual citizens who are not part of Congress, who are not part of the White House administration, conducting foreign policy. So those are the three laws. So the short answer is they can't prosecute these guys. There aren't laws out there to do that. Yes, it seems treasonous. I do not like what they did. It was repugnant. It was immoral. They should not have done it. Politically, I think it was a mess, and I think they've realized that as well. What can we do with it? I think it should be an issue during the next election, very much so. We shouldn't just let it lie. But I think that's pretty much what we can do at this point. I know there's some of Tom's listeners out there who may disagree with me or may have questions. I welcome those, but that's my opinion as of this point, because I did promise to answer that question yesterday.
Now, what about interfering with another country's elections? Because could you essentially get them on that for inviting Netanyahu to speak and taking a trip to Israel?
I haven't looked into that one. I'll be honest with you. I'd have to look at the statute, see if there's a criminal statute, find out if they've met those elements. I'm trying to not use an emotional reaction by analyzing this and looking at the statute and saying, here's what you have to prove in order to be convicted of that. Okay. I don't know that statute. I know there's been some talk of it, and I'd be interested if other people have looked into that, what they think. That's something I can look into in the future.
Okay,
that's
fair
for
enough.
Sure.
And
but
if somebody knows the answer,
I do want to get back to that answer because I got questions from multiple fronts after the show yesterday on that.
If somebody has a different opinion or has other information that they would like to share, feel free. 202-536-3270. I'm sure there's people out there that disagree. Maybe about 300,000 of them. Sorry, Troy. The phone might be a little busy. Let's check in with Johnny watching on DirecTV in Lamarck, Texas. Johnny, thanks for watching the Tom Hartman program.
Hey, Danielle. Just for you and Shane to know, I think Tom did a fantastic job in hiring you and Shane to be his co-pilot and navigator while he went into the restroom. You're not driving the airplane to the ground. As a matter of fact, you're taking it to a higher level. So good job for both of you.
We would only hope to keep you guys quite as informed, half as informed, a tenth as Tom does. But with that said, Tom also made really great decisions in hiring Sean and Jim and Troy and even Jacob, who used to work here, Sam, who used to work here. Tom and Louise know what they're doing when they pick people.
Yeah. Anyway, I called about two things. You all mentioned mandatory voting, and the only way you can really make that work to appeal to people like me, to get people like me to vote on a regular basis, is to make it more than just the way it is, a vote for this list of people. If you're not satisfied with a list of people that's on the ballot, there has to be a mechanism for you to say no confidence, none of the above, or write in. Or if you pay an extra $2 or $5, you get 140 character space to indicate why you're not voting for anybody above.
It's the Twitter method of legislation. We said something similar in private conversation the other day. I don't remember what it was, but also talking about that you had to legislate in Twitter characters.
Whether or not they could do the TPP via Twitter.
Oh,
then we could figure out what's going on.
Yes, and I forgot Sue and Nigel and Jamie.
Yeah.
And there's so many people who work behind the scenes here. It's sometimes hard to remember everyone. But sorry, Johnny, go ahead.
Okay, now that we've covered the mandatory voting issue, the California drought. The last thing Governor Brown, I hope he's strong enough to do this, is to resist any attempts on the private sector to privatize a solution. We need a socialized approach if they're going to institute a series of desalination plants and or construct a pipeline network from parts of the country that have enough water. It has to be done by the government. It can't be done for profit because we see what happens every time Dick Cheney privatizes stuff.
Amen, Johnny. And I think there's already a few of those pipelines that run east to west. I'm not sure if Enbridge is one that runs east to west, but if it does, maybe let's use that for some water. Great points, Johnny. Thank you.
You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program. Call 202-536-2370.
Anything Goes Friday here on the Tom Hartman Program. What's on your mind? Welcome back to the Tom Hartman Program. I'm Danielle here with Shane O in for Tom today. Quick reminder to check out sistergiant.com where Tom will be speaking this weekend with Dennis Kucinich and Senator Bernie Sanders. So all the information, including where you can watch it if you're not in L.A., over at TomHartman.com and SisterGiant.com. Check it out. Let's check in with Carl listening on TuneIn in Nashville, Tennessee. Thanks for hanging out with us today, Carl.
Oh, thank you. I've enjoyed the show all this week. This is something that has really just been ticking me off all week. And I think that other than climate change, obviously, that's something for humanity. But this right here, as far as our politics, the Israelis spying on us and then giving information to the Republicans. I don't think that that has been talked about nearly enough. I mean, it should be talked about ad nauseum, because someone needs to be charged. Someone needs to go to jail.
Well, they're denying it, I believe. I mean, they're denying it as of now. I don't know more details.
John Boehner's face when he was doing the speech to deny it. I've never seen him. I've been watching John Boehner for at least 20 years in politics. I've never seen him that caught off balance, that flustered, that he looks confused. He looks scared. That's the word I'm looking for.
Maybe he's sober.
He looks like, maybe so. I think that this needs to be looked into, and I think that this has not been looked at enough.
Yeah, I'll be completely honest, Carl. I know we spoke with the Talk Radio News. I don't remember which reporter, and I haven't followed up as well as I should have.
Yeah, I'll be honest with you. When I heard it, I was like, okay, they spied on us, we spy on them. That's what kind of what I was a little too nonchalant about it, because if they are feeding to the Republicans, it's kind of like receipt of stolen property.
Yeah. Hey, maybe we can get them on that criminally.
Yeah. I mean, I think that this is going to be bigger than the media is portraying it. And I think us as Americans need to really put our feet down on this crap. I mean, this is literally they're using someone else to spy on us. I'm dumbfounded by how no one has even been questioned or really arrested. And until we do something like that, anything else going forth in politics right now is pretty much garbage to me, because this needs to be stopped. I mean, this is.
I would have said, you know, a while ago, before all the revelations about what we were doing in Germany and Europe and all that, that how dare an ally of ours spying on us? But that argument kind of goes out the window when it comes to our White House.
It's a little tough for us to say that now.
That's one of those things where you lose the moral high ground.
Yeah.
On things,
Carl,
and you can't come back at them.
Excellent points. I understand why you feel the way you do. If that information is true, even more than Israel spying, passing it off to the Republicans and Republicans going along with it to sabotage an international trade or an international negotiation, peace negotiation, it's another one of those things that I don't know the law, but it seems like it should be illegal. Maybe somebody listening has followed up on that story better than I have and can fill us in. I'll keep an eye out on the board for it. Thanks for bringing it back up again and bringing it back to everyone's attention. When there's so much treachery, to use your word that you gave the call screener, it's kind of hard to keep up. And that's not an excuse, but we'll have to look back.
Like I said, I, when I heard it, I was like, yeah, they're spying us, we spy on them, that's what we do.
Yeah, it's such a shame that we've gotten to that point.
Yes, it is.
But compared to how much we spy on everyone, is it really, do we have any grounds to complain? Let's check in with Tim, listening on WCPT.com in Elmhurst, Illinois. Tim, you had some information about nuclear energy.
Yeah, a couple of things. One, I wanted to correct that gentleman about the idea that nuclear power plants can be used to create nuclear weapons. That is totally false. The only way you can create nuclear-grade weapon material is with a reactor specifically built for making nuclear weapon material. So all nuclear power plants are designed specifically to create isotopes in such a ratio that it cannot be used to make any nuclear weapons at all.
But couldn't you make a dirty bomb? I mean, couldn't you take the waste from a nuclear plant and use it in some type of other explosive device? I mean, does it have to be the atom bomb to be dangerous?
Well, I mean, you could take, for example, when you make windmills, you have a lot of thorium nuclear waste that's generated in making wind power. You could take that thorium nuclear waste from making wind energy and also make a nuclear make a dirty bomb.
Interesting. And one further follow up question: is there any way to build what looks like on the outside a nuclear power reactor that, while inside, it's not actually producing nuclear power in the isotopes you're talking about, that it actually inside it's like subterfuge, so that they're making the other type of nuclear power that would be necessary?
Only one country ever tried something like that,
uh-huh.
And it's a very famous location. It's called Chernobyl.
Oh.
It was a very, very disastrous idea.
Hmm.
It was the only time they ever tried to make a dual use reactor, and it was, well, we all know what happened, right?
Oh, interesting.
Okay.
So the other thing I want to talk about is that at Fukushima, I talked about Fukushima. I wanted to celebrate the fact that the rice now around Fukushima is now fit for human consumption.
According to whom?
According to, well, it's been reported in Reuters. I guess it would be the Japanese government as well as by international radiation standards.
Yeah, I'm just not buying that one. I'm sorry. And I'm not an expert. I'm not going to claim to be an expert. But you know, Kevin Camp's nuclear watchdog groups that have been you know, really studying this, studying the isotope reports, studying the information that they get out of it would, I think, strongly say otherwise. But maybe somebody listening can be the expert on that one. I can't.
You don't buy it.
No.
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 I'll tell you what. If someone said, here's the rice that was grown just outside of Fukushima, I would not eat it.
Yes. And you know what? I would say, help yourself. You can eat it first to prove us all wrong.
Right.
Talk to you in 20 years. Let's check in with Paul watching on Free Speech TV in Lucerne, California. Thanks for watching on the Dish Network there, Paul.
Thank you, guys. You guys do a great job filling in for Tom.
Thank you.
I'd like to talk about calling your 47 traders. It took me a week, but I was able to get a hold of every one of them.
Oh, great. How did it go?
The most interesting call of all of them was Lindsey Graham's office. They actually denied that it was an international agreement. They insisted that it was only between the president and Iran.
Huh.
Nobody had nothing else to do with it.
Yeah, we heard.
I was woefully misinformed.
We heard some interesting responses. You know, I get to talk to callers that sometimes they can't wait. You know, they don't have time to sit on hold, or they get dropped or disconnected. Our phone system is sometimes a little hinky, mm-hmm. as anybody who listens to the show regularly can attest. I heard some interesting responses from people who called their lawmakers, including what letter? We never sent a letter. I don't know. Letter?
We never sent it.
Letter who?
We were kidding.
Yes.
All of those different things, which is why when we spoke about this a few minutes ago, I said politically it was a mess.
Right.
They knew it was a mess really quickly. So many of them tried to disassociate. I didn't really read it. I just signed it.
Yeah. Paul, did you get any of those responses? If you called every single one of them, did you hear anything else like that?
I heard a bunch of them just apologizing.
Oh, interesting.
Rand Paul's office was the best. They were really apologetic over it. They realized he made a mistake. They said he made a mistake and he was going to say something or do something to rectify it. So I've been kind of looking for that.
Yeah,
I will be
too.
Watching for that, Paul. And if that is actually done, I will commend them for saying, hey, guess what? I screwed up. I think we often hold our lawmakers to a high standard, as we should.
Yes.
But they are also all human beings. And if they mess up and they say so, I almost have more respect for them.
But it's got to be, it can't be those apologies, those political apologies.
Yeah. If I offended someone.
Oh, no. No. If you were offended by.
Yeah.
No. If you had a problem with what I said, if you did something, it always pushes it off. It's conditional and it puts it off on the other person, not themselves.
Right.
If you were offended by the letter that I didn't really sign, I didn't read, then I'm sorry that you felt that way.
Yeah.
Those are the, message to the Iranian leaders should not have been sent. It shouldn't have been sent to them. The message was wrong and we shouldn't have done it. And we're sorry. That's completely different.
And I would
applaud that
reaction. You know, everybody can get caught up in the heat of the moment. This could possibly have some big ramifications, big impact because of something really stupid that they did. But if they own up to it and say it was a stupid idea, more power to them. I think that's the right way to handle it.
Stupid. They just say wrong.
Right. My words, not theirs.
Yeah.
You know, I do understand the messaging.
It was a misunderstanding. I don't agree with the content of the letter. I misunderstood. Even that would be fine.
Paul, thank you very much for the call. And I'd love to hear more about this. Maybe give us a call next week and tell us more about what you heard and what reactions you got. Because I think calling all of them and seeing the different reactions. When people called early on, the day after that letter was sent, as I said, I talked to them, and they got different messages at each office they called. Mm-hmm. You know, they got people defending that, people criticizing the president, people saying, what letter? I didn't send it, et cetera. But now it looks like they are getting their message together. They got the talking points on the fax machine, and for once, they realized the smartest move might have been
to move
away.
Own
up to it and move away.
Because as we spoke about, while there's no criminal charges probably that could be filed, politically, this is going to stay here.
Yeah.
I think we need to bring this up in the next election. I think it's very important.
I think so, too. I mean, if nothing else, a lawmaker that is willing to undermine the president's attempts at foreign policy and the president's attempts at peace, I don't care what side of the aisle that you're on, that sounds wrong to me. So, anyhow, we will be back with more of your calls.
You're listening to Tom Hartman. Visit TomHartman.com for audio and video archives.
We'll be back with the talk radio news right after this. Welcome back to the Tom Hartman program on Free Speech TV. Let's check in with Anita, listening in San Antonio, Texas. Thanks for watching on DirecTV, Anita.
Hi, Daniela.
Hi.
Hi, Shano.
How you doing?
Yeah, I want to talk about that Israel spying on our negotiations and then cherry-picking information to feed to the Republicans in Congress.
Yeah, did you see any more information about that, about if it's been verified? Or because I got to admit, I missed it. I didn't do my homework.
No, but I do think it deserves an investigation.
Yeah.
I think we should all call Jason Chavez and tell him, we've had all these Benghazi investigations ad nauseum, and this seems a little more important to me.
Yeah,
and,
I agree.
And John, they can deny it. Of course they're going to deny it, but why aren't they calling for an investigation? That's what they would do if it involved the president or any other Democrat.
Yes,
yeah,
absolutely.
And while they may not do it, we should be saying, hey, we wanted every single chance we get, and now that I'm getting more facts on this, I agree, we want an investigation. We want an investigation. We want an investigation. You keep saying it over and over again, because then afterwards you can say, you know what, we had this happen, and they wouldn't even look into it.
Exactly.
It is a tool.
At least an investigation into it to see what,
right.
What's going on.
Hey, you'd think that they could put some of those committees they've formed to good use.
Yes, I know. But they, this is just, John Boehner was like, no, I don't know what you're talking about, and that's it. And they just want us to drop it. I don't think we should allow them to, I don't think that should happen. I don't think we should allow that to happen.
Well,
this is a big deal.
It sounds like it to me. And if even a portion of it is true, based on the media reports, specifically conspiring with Republicans and sharing deals that,
portions
of the deal.
There's some reasonable suspicion to start an investigation.
Right.
There's enough there to say, we would like to have more information. Thank you very much.
Yeah. Excellent point, Anita. Thank you very much for hanging out with us there in Texas. Let's check in with Charles. Watching on Roku in Lakewood, Washington. Go ahead.
Thank you, Danielle. And first of all, I have a disagreement with Shano.
Okay.
It's that shirt. God's sake, Shano. No, I've got a bunch of those. They're in storage for the summer. I'll be bringing them out pretty soon. But you realize, Shano, what's going to happen here is that if we were to ever successfully even prosecute these senators, then they would start thumping their chest and just turn it back and say, oh, see, we can't even do our job. We're being prosecuted.
Right. I was saying that we cannot prosecute them.
That we cannot?
Cannot prosecute them. They haven't broken a criminal law. That was perhaps.
And go ahead.
No, go ahead, Charles.
So essentially what I was saying is that they may have done something that we don't like, that's poor manners, that feels treasony, but they haven't broken a criminal law, so there's no way to prosecute them. That was kind of my point. Maybe I
can you imagine?
They would, yeah.
Can you imagine if the tables were turned?
Yeah.
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 It's,
you guys are doing a great job. I'll let you get to the next caller. Thanks.
Thank you.
We only have a few seconds, and we're going
to
be jumping
to
Victoria.
Maybe if I wasn't clear enough, that essentially what I was saying is, yeah, it feels treasony, but they haven't broken any criminal laws, so you can't prosecute them.
Yeah.
And that's my legal opinion.
There's always this question. The Republicans often stoop to a rather low level. They, name call, lie, and I'm sure it's been done on both sides. But there's the huge question. Do you join them and do you fight at a lower level, at their level, or do you try and rise above it? And I think Democrats often try to rise above it. I'm not so sure that that works politically. What do you think? Welcome back Welcome back to the Tom Hartman Program. I'm Danielle, here with Shano, in for Tom. And Victoria Jones of the Talk Radio News Service is joining us, talkradionews.com, goatsfortheoldgoats.com, and free-don.org. Thank you, Victoria. How's it going? What's in the news today?
It's going great. There's a great deal in the news today. I'm in the basement of the White House. I've just ducked out of the White House press briefing with Josh Earnest, where one of the hot topics is the Iran nuclear negotiations, which are coming down to the wire with the deadline on Tuesday. Or is it the deadline? There are two deadlines. There's an interim political deadline for a framework, which is the 31st of March, and then there is the hard final deadline, which is June. And there were quite a lot of questions today about whether that deadline is it a movable feast, if you like? Is it movable and things like that? I asked Josh a couple of questions about whether, in fact, the U.S. and France were at odds, because he said that the P5 plus one was speaking with one voice, and there have been numerous reports that, in fact, France is taking a more hardline position than the United States in these talks. He said that Francois Hollande of France and President Obama had spoken earlier in the week, and that they were speaking as one voice. I also asked him whether, after President Hassan Rouhani had spoken with world powers yesterday and also sent a letter to the six world powers yesterday, there was one message coming from Iran now, because you see, you've got the foreign minister Javad Zarif negotiating with John Kerry, the Secretary of State. You've got Hassan Rouhani sending letters and speaking to people. Then you've got Ayatollah Khamenei over in Iran lambasting. So effectively, you've got three messages. They're not always saying the same thing. So do you have three messages from Iran now, or do you have one? I could not say that Josh Earnest answered my question directly. That's when he assured me that the P5 plus one spoke with one voice. So I don't think that we can be sure that Iran is speaking with one voice. So that's what I have for you on Iran.
So would that mean essentially that even if a deal is reached, that we might not be able to trust that all parties involved agree to it?
Well, what we could have is you could have a deal between the foreign minister and Secretary Kerry, which you will have this, that then goes to Hassan Rouhani, and they're very likely to be in concert. It then has to go, then the hardline clerics are going to try and get their paws on it, but it ultimately has to be agreed to by Ayatollah Khamenei.
Well, it sounds a lot like the multiple voices that are speaking from this country, especially on this subject.
For a theocracy, it is democratic.
Yeah. Interesting.
It is interesting.
Yeah.
Senate Minority Harry Reid, Democrat of Nevada, announced this morning, as I'm sure you know, that he will not be seeking re-election in 2016. He said he had made the decision before he injured his eye in an exercise accident earlier this year, but that when he was recuperating from the eye, it caused him to give it some more thought, and so he did not change his decision then. He also announced in an interview this morning that he's endorsed Senator Chuck Schumer, who's the number three Democrat, to succeed him after he retires at the end of 2016. So he predicted that he would win the Democratic leadership post without opposition.
That Schumer would?
Schumer would.
Not Dick Durbin?
No. He's endorsed Schumer. Now, he said that he thought that the other likely contender, who is Whip Dick Durbin, the number two, would stand down for Schumer. We have not heard from Durbin so far. Josh Earnest was asked about this at the briefing, and he said that President Obama would decline to endorse.
So interesting to wonder about the wheels spinning in the back rooms there, and why certain deals go down the way that they do.
Indeed. Four major banks. We've got Citigroup, J.P. Morgan, Goldman Sachs, and Bank of America are threatening to withhold campaign donations to Senate Democrats in anger over Senator Elizabeth Warren's attacks on Wall Street. They met recently in Washington and discussed the growing hostility towards big business within the Democratic ranks, particularly with Warren and also Senator Sherrod Brown on the banking committee. And they're trying to decide how to respond. Now, these are banks that do give considerable amounts of money to Democrats.
Yes.
So they're trying to decide what to do. Each one is responding in a different way. Citigroup's already withholding donations to the Democratic Senatorial Campaign Committee to avoid boosting Warren and other progressives critical of Wall Street. J.P. Morgan's given some. Goldman's already donated the maximum. Now, the story in the Boston Globe does say that they're only focused on donations to Senate campaigns, not presidential contenders.
You know, I think this could be a very important reaction from the Democratic Party. If they side with these banks and not progressive senators, I think they might sign their own death certificate there as far as keeping progressives, keeping the hard left involved in that party.
Very interesting.
Yeah. You can't destroy the rock star of the party and back the banks and still have progressives on your side of the fence.
It's going to be a balancing act.
Yeah, it really is. What else is going on?
The online review company Yelp is urging other businesses to stay away from states that have enacted religious freedom laws. The San Francisco-based company said it would be unconscionable for Yelp to create or expand a large presence in any state that encourages discrimination. So it will make every effort to expand its corporate presence only in states that do not have these laws, they said, allowing for discrimination on the books. And, of course, this is in the wake of Indiana being the latest state to enact a, quote, religious freedom law that prohibits the government from burdening someone's religious freedom.
Yeah. The laws that brought us the likes of Hobby Lobby and other what I would consider disastrous rulings, disastrous pieces of legislation that it's okay to discriminate. It's stunning. What year are we in again?
2015.
I seem to forget that from time to time. Victoria, always great reporting. Always a pleasure to talk to you. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Victoria Jones of the Talk Radio News Service, talkradionews.com, free-don.org, goatsfortheoldgoats.com, and we'll be back with more of your calls right after this.
You're listening to Tom Hartman.
Hey, friends, Tom Hartman here. Thanks so much for watching and listening to the program. The Tom Hartman program is brought to you in part by the following underwriters. Identity Guard. Count on us to help protect what makes you, you. WIX.com. Everyone deserves to have their own website. ITMTrading.com, America's source for rare coins and precious metals. BostonBeer.com, Boston Beer, maker of handcrafted beers. Geico.com, providers of insurance. IdentityGuard.com, total protection. Quicken Loans, engineered to amaze. And EcoWine.com, your source for organic wine since 1980. These underwriters support our show, so please help by supporting the people who make this program possible. You can learn more at TomHartman.com.
This is the Tom Hartman Program.
Welcome back to the Tom Hartman Program. I'm Danielle, here with Shano, taking your calls on Anything Goes Friday. So when Kathy McMorris Rogers asked on Facebook, what is your Facebook, your affordable care experience like? She got answers like, I love the insurance I have through the ACA Silver Plan. No problems. Not a one. Still seeing all the same doctors, eye doctors, gynecologists, primary care physician, have been to the ER, blood work done, had acquired a new doctor as well. Not one complaint. It's a funny thing.
I'm very happy. We still have great coverage and our premiums are much lower than before. Yeah. Obamacare definitely works for me. I love it.
Yeah.
I'm not just culling out the bad ones. I'm not seeing bad ones.
Yeah, I'm sure they're there. You know, these get boosted up higher on the comments because more and more people like them.
Are liking them.
If you notice on that Facebook page, each one of these comments has 300, 400, 500 likes other people coming in and liking that comment. So they're getting, they're getting elevated to the top of the comment list.
Thanks, Obama. Because of the ACA, I have health insurance and with a pre-existing condition. Without this, I would most likely be dead or on government assistance, something else you or CMR don't like.
Yes. And Harry in the chat asked one more time, even despite your explanation, Chano, to plug the Prosecute the 47 petition over at WhiteHouse.gov. So if you disagree with Chano,
you know,
the more reason to go over to WhiteHouse.gov.
I signed the petition.
I did too.
There's a difference. I'm doing the legal analysis portion. There's how I feel. It's treasony to use a Stephen Colbert probably word. It feels treasony. I don't like what they did. Sign the petition, I think, is a way of saying I don't like what you did.
Yeah, I agree. Even if there's not a legal result,
the more signatures, the more you can say the American people don't like what you did. Don't do it again.
Yep.
I thought it fascinating when Victoria was talking about all these different voices coming out of Iran. That, first the negotiator has to get it, and then goes to the president, and the president has to say this is okay. Then it goes to the right wing extremists to see if they're going to approve it. Well, we have John Kerry, who's going to have to go to our president, President Obama, and see if he likes it, and then they're going to have to bring it over. At least this is what the right wing extremists in our country want, to bring it over to them for their approval, which they would say no way.
Right. But
they've already said that in their letter.
Perhaps experience with all those different voices is what made it so easy for the Ayatollah to respond to the 47 traitors and troll them on Twitter and explain how our Constitution works, because that was awesome. I was saying that all that tweet from the Ayatollah needed was a mic drop, and I'm sorry if you don't get that. Please just Google it. Let's check in with your calls. Devon, listening on Sirius in Houston, Texas. Very important topic that you bring up, Devon. Thanks for listening to the Tom Hartman program.
Thank you. You guys are doing an excellent job.
Thank you. You guys don't have to say that. And I swear, for other people listening, I'm not putting you up to it.
Okay. I was just wondering, with that recent incident, what happened to that Floyd Dent guy, would you think it would now finally spark wants for federal oversight?
Which state was that in? There have been so many recent instances involving police that I tend to forget which one is which state.
Oh, and this was the Michigan one when the guy was in the headlock getting punched repeatedly in the head. And then 10 cops beat him, he was bloody. Then
the student.
Now it seems that he's been framed for drug possession because it was planted on him.
Oh, yes. I certainly think there needs to be some federal oversight, but specifically, I think there needs to be independent prosecutors in all police districts. When we ask police to investigate themselves, as pretty much would happen when anybody investigates themselves, of course they're going to find everything is just peachy. But independent prosecutors, independent citizen advisory boards, I think would make a big difference. Not necessarily every one of these cops belong in jail. There are sometimes justifiable reasons why police have to use physical action. But we've seen too many of these that aren't.
I also like community oversight with the subpoena power.
Yes.
I think it would be important. One, the oversight in looking at the criminality of police should not be done by police or friends of police, obvious. There's just bias. But two, get the community involved. Get the community involved and give those community groups some authority, some power, a way to get information so that the blue wall of silence doesn't block that. And then that community group, while they can't prosecute themselves, they can make those types of things public. Then public sentiment says, and politically says, you need to do something about that, and that will move politicians to do things.
Right. I think it's the United Black Front. I'm not sure. I might have one word of that off. There's a group working on a similar proposal for here in D.C., asking for a citizen advisory board, asking for specific training, specific cameras. A lot of that could go a long way. Whether that requires federal legislation or whether it's better for states to do it themselves, I'm not sure. but asking the same prosecutors who have to work with police to then investigate them is pretty much just like asking them to investigate themselves, and it's obviously not working. Right.
Yeah, you don't allow that. There's conflicts of interest. There are rules. There are rules in the canons of ethics for attorneys in terms of bias and recusing yourselves, and these prosecutors have been doing it behind closed doors in grand juries.
Yeah.
We saw it happen with Ferguson.
Absolutely. Devon, it's a very important subject. It doesn't get enough attention, despite how much attention it has gotten recently.
What concerns me is it happens so often that people become numb to it again.
Yeah, I just had to ask what state it was, because there have been so many of these incidents that it's hard to remember each individual's names.
And that's why we have to keep up the conversation.
Right, these are real people who deserve to be talked about and remembered and acknowledged. And, there's just so many of them. Thank you for the call, Devon, and thank you for bringing up that topic. Let's check in with Jeff, listening on 1290 AM in Chaparral, New Mexico.
Yeah, we're close. Good morning.
Good morning.
Hi, show.
Thank you.
Chaparral, New Mexico.
Chaparral. I was, if you heard the question in my voice, I wasn't quite sure there.
Yeah, I did. Thanks for a great show.
Thank you.
You were talking about water. A lady talked about pipeline to California. No more pipelines to anywhere if they're using that water for fracking.
Amen.
Fracking is poisoning our water here in the Southwest. Texas invented this. Thank you, Halliburton. The Congress legalized this water pollution. And down here at the heart of it, 20% of the population knows what it even is.
Wow.
And I'm asking you to help us get the voice out that it's poisoning our water in 42 states. And California is one of them.
Yeah.
It's crazy. We've got a Republican governor here in New Mexico that's absolutely crazy. She thinks it's worth 30% of our tax money just to get that from oil and gas. But they're using 5 million gallons of our drinking water in the desert to push out oil and gas for that peasly amount of money.
Yeah, and, you know, they're not going to be able to drink the oil and gas in future decades when the water runs out. I don't understand using one non-renewable resource to essentially get one that we shouldn't even be using in the first place. And, yes, water does filter and we can clean it, but, you know, as it stands, it is in limited supply. Ask people all around the world who go days without adequate water, if not longer. Thank you for bringing that up, Jeff. It is a very important topic. Shout out to our state, Maryland, for recently putting a 3-year moratorium on fracking. I think that's great. I hope that the governor signs it, as we now have a Republican governor in Maryland, despite being a pretty strongly Democratic.
Pretty shocking, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that they might have a strong enough Democratic strength in the legislature that they can override it if he vetoes that legislation. I'm not 100% sure, but based on the numbers, it certainly looks like higher than 60%. So, you know, look at Denton, Texas. Look at New York, Pennsylvania, states trying to do something about it. If California had years ago, could it have helped? Could it have kept their water supply, make it last a little longer? I don't know. But poisoning what they have left certainly doesn't seem wise. We'll be back.
This is the Tom Hartman Program.
Anything goes here on the Tom Hartman Program with me, Danielle, and Shano. Give us a call. Let us know what's on your mind. Welcome back to the Tom Hartman Program on Free Speech TV. Let's check in with Louise, watching on Free Speech TV on cable in Denver, Colorado. Thanks for spending the day with us, Louise.
Hi, Danielle. I would just like to say one of your earlier callers said that Rand Paul's office kind of apologized for that letter.
Mm-hmm.
The only apology that counts to me is that those 47 write another letter, and that is to our president apologizing. Then I might consider that a real apology. Another thing, Victoria just reported that the banks are not really that crazy about giving to the Democrats, the Democratic legislators running.
Uh-huh.
And I think we ought to use that as a battle cry.
I think so, too.
Commercials.
I think so, too. I mean, don't you think that This could be a make it or break it point for the Democratic Party, where if they stand with these banks and try and get, you know, really progressive rock stars in the party like Warren, like Sherrod Brown, to be quiet and not upset the apple cart so much, that that's really going to backfire on Democrats?
Oh, absolutely. They could put this in their commercials and express this, that the banks didn't want to give them any money. Why? Because we don't kowtow to them. However, the Republicans will give them whatever they want, and that includes screwing the American public.
Yeah, no way to mince words about it. And let's face it, anybody who actually knows, like, Dodd-Frank and the fact that it was completely underfunded, we didn't ever get any strong regulation against the banks to begin with. I mean, they're all getting away with a pittance compared to what they did to our economy. They didn't get any real legislation put against them. And we haven't seen one bankster go to jail for what they did to this country. And they're whining that we're being too hard on them? Please.
And I think if we could make the Democrats the underdog and the banks are piling on them, I think it would be huge.
Brilliant. Yeah. Exactly.
I think they just wrote the campaign commercials for us. If people are paying attention, if they demand to be in bed with Wall Street again, it's going to backfire on the party. And that goes all the way to the White House, if you ask me. Louise, thank you very much for the call. Excellent points. Do we have time for one more? Let's check in with June on Free Speech TV on the Dish Network in Shawano, Wisconsin. Thank you, June, for hanging out with us today.
Hi, Daniel. This question may be a little complicated, but I was ill through the fall and winter of last year and going in and out of hospitals, but I do remember the election for governor of the state. There was a lady, I don't recall her last name, but she wasn't a great candidate, but she got better towards the end. And she had won the election. Then I woke up the next morning and Scott Walker had won. This had something to do with another area of the country. I don't remember any such ruling.
I don't recall somebody else winning in Wisconsin and then Walker essentially getting a win anyway. Not to say that I'm forgetting it or I'm confusing it. I do remember some discrepancies in the vote. And your question for the call screener, whether the election was rigged, I don't think we need a specific story to really feel
Although,
that way.
If it is out there, it'd be at bradblog.com.
Yeah, bradblog.com. Check it out. We'll be back. Welcome back to the Tom Hartman Program. I'm Danielle, here with Shano, in for Tom today. I know we did get a request on Facebook to mention Twitter accounts, so Shane is at Producer Shano, and I am at Danielle on Radio. Give us a shout. We appreciate your comments. We read them and try and get back to you, see what you're into, what you're following.
Or incorporate it right into the show.
Yes. Yes, well, we will steal your good ideas.
No,
with
we
credit,
will give you credit,
of course.
we were talking about rights that you don't have access to earlier. Someone put up, of course, abortion rights.
Yeah, amen.
One of the largest ones that we did not, mention.
Yeah,
we were talking about rights that are they really rights if you can't have access to them, whether they be too expensive. Prohibitive, that would be, you know, location-wise.
Right, and callers brought up great ideas. I think we had a list of education, health care, voting rights, the right to not be subjected to cruel and unusual punishment.
Sure.
Callers brought up food, water. I don't remember all of them off the top of my head, and I had them written down that day, but they're not in front of me.
But we didn't mention trap laws.
Trap laws. Excellent point. See?
Speaking of Twitter.
Smartest listeners and callers in the world, and Twitter users.
There it is.
Yes. Let's check in with Anne, listening on KBAI in Bellingham, Washington. Thanks for listening
to guys.
KBAI.
Really appreciate the work you've been doing for Tom this week.
Oh, thank you.
Well, one thing about water, this is not what I was going to talk about, but I live in Western Washington State, and usually it has a lot of water. And in the last 25 years, there's been more and more droughts. And this year, there's been no snow in the mountains whatsoever, and there's nothing to melt, and the rivers are low, and they're not going to get any higher.
Right. Do you suspect that the California's drought is not going to be California's drought?
No, it's everywhere. Right. And we really, you know, need to talk to the elected politicians and get something done. But the one I did want to talk about was I have a real problem with the pharmaceutical companies. And I was talking to the guy that brought me in, and he said that it used to be illegal for pharmaceutical companies to advertise, and now every 5 minutes on whatever channel you pick, there's a Hallmark kind of commercial for pharmaceuticals, and then they give the litany of side effects, mm-hmm. which are horrible.
Oh, I know.
You know, and then it says, ask your doctor.
Right,
you know,
and some of them, the side effect is death.
Yes. I mean, it's just like, you know, profuse. If you have profuse bleeding, da, 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 stop and call your doctor immediately. I mean, so they make so much money, and they don't produce things like enough for measles or Ebola or anything else, because they're putting the money into oxycodone and other painkillers like that, which are now being people that take those kind of pharmaceuticals are dying more than cocaine and heroin put together.
Mm-hmm.
So we really need to take a look at it. This is a real problem when people flush them down the toilet because it screws up our water. And, you know, it's just they are above the law, and I just would like help to, you know, dig them down a couple notches.
Absolutely. Well, Mike Papantonio, who Tom has on regularly, is working on that full force. He often talks about it, talks about specific companies, specific products that he is fighting to try and make the victims whole, if possible. There are great people working to stand up for them, but they are above the law. Just think about the fact that we can't even negotiate our drug prices for seniors with for Medicare because these pharmaceutical companies have so much power.
Well, Danielle, it is obscene.
Yes.
We deserve better. We need to re-educate the people, you know, like what you're doing today and every day. And I just want people to become aware of it so we can make some changes, because I don't want to continue I don't want to pay the prices. Like, my cousin's on 3 or 4 different pills, and one of them is $900 a month.
That's insane. Right.
Patent reform would go a long way.
Yeah.
On that one.
Who can do that?
Yeah. My sister is a cancer survivor, and the prices that she had to pay for some of the medication that she had to get and continues to have to get is astronomical. And she's, you know, trying to work 2 jobs and take care of 2 kids while paying for medication just to stay alive. We can do better as a country. And
I think it's important, though, to separate out the corporation, the pharmaceutical companies, and the scientists working on cures. Because I think there are some wonderful human beings who are working on solutions for other human beings. Unfortunately, it's all done under this for-profit, ultra-profit, highly patented structure. And if we can work on that actual structure of the institutions and how they operate and allow scientists to do their work, pay them well, but at the same time not have essentially these huge corporations with stockholders making oodles of money, I would far prefer a system like that. So patent reform and having more of this research done by wonderful scientists, but more in a public sphere.
Well,
I think
would be a great government change. Funding is a big reason why, a big factor in whether or not scientists are actually able to do research because something's important versus research because something is profitable. And we see university funding cut. We see science, funding cut all over the place. And hey, the Republicans are bragging with their new budget that they just passed last night to cut another $5 trillion. You know, how are they funding Ebola research in that budget? I'd like to know.
Well, why don't they send the bill to George W. and Cheney and just say, go at it. Here's the price. You can privatize it. Here you go. Here's all the bills that you have to pay.
Yeah, we'll give him give them a to do to pay. You know, these are the things. You broke it, you buy it. How about that?
Exactly. Well, I really appreciate your show this week, you guys.
And we appreciate
you. I really like Tom Hartman too.
Thank you very much, and thanks for listening to KBII there in Washington. And thanks to everybody who is spending time with us this week. It is such an honor to talk to you guys. I can't say that enough. I get to talk to you every day. You guys are amazingly brilliant, and I learn something every single day talking to you.
You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program. Call 202-536-2370.
And Tom will be back Monday for those who miss him, like we do. We'll be back right after this break. Welcome back to the Tom Hartman Program. I'm Danielle, here with Shano, in for Tom today. So when Kathy McMorris Rogers asked about asked for Obamacare horror stories, she got responses like this. The Republican solution to the Affordable Care Act? Let people drown in debt, clutter our emergency rooms, and die from lack of coverage due to pre-existing condition. No thanks, Congresswoman. Some of us care more about our fellow Americans than trying to bash the president. Keep trying to scare your followers and phony horrors with phony horror stories. Thanks, though. Sorry.
Canadian here. I wanted to express how lovely it is to see all your comments and how the ACA has helped you all in so many ways. It's not perfect, but it's better than it was before. Cheers.
Yep. Just funniest thing about the internet. More than the people you're hoping to respond actually can. Anyhow, let's check with John, listening via podcast in Jeffersonville, Ohio. Thanks for calling the Tom Hartman Program, John.
Hi, how you doing today?
We're doing very well, thank you.
Good. Hey, I have a question with regard to strategy.
Okay.
It looks, I mean, the country is further to the government is further to the right than the people. That's very clear. But the reason for that, in my opinion, is that the Republicans have gotten rid of all the rhinos, and they are continually moving the country to the left. The Democratic Party, if we got rid of the dinos, okay, what would happen was, number one, it would give Republicans less votes whenever they needed a conservative, and secondly, so many of my friends that are liberal, I mean, I am 100% liberal. So many of my friends that are liberal are so fed up with the Democratic Party because they go, well, they're all alike. You know, they have the Republicans pass stuff. And if they got rid of the dinos in the Democratic Party, then I could honestly tell my friends, no, there is a difference.
Such as?
100%.
Such as?
What's your opinion on that?
Well, such as? Who do you say, you know, as a dino, Democrat in name only?
Yeah, Democrat name only, yes.
Right. Can you give me an example?
Who's the guy from West Virginia?
Joe Manchin.
Joe Manchin. Susan Landrieu, which, of course, she's gone.
Yeah.
Max Baucus.
The conservatives, yes.
I wrestle with this all the time.
I do, too.
I can tell you, this is really tough because we do want to be an inclusive party. And it frustrates me when we have Democrats siding with Republicans. Max Baucus cast the 50th vote on the Bush tax cuts that then Dick Cheney came in and cast the 51st vote on. I mean, that's devastating stuff. But at the same time, if we were to push everyone out, everyone who is moderate out of the Democratic Party, we also have to take in a couple other factors other than just having only an extreme in our party. We have to take in the fact that a lot of Republicans have owned a lot of the state houses at this point and have gerrymandered the heck out of them. Two, they've got a lot more money in the corporate structure because corporations don't like Democratic policies. So they have more money, they have a better shot at more seats, less of them are up for grabs. So are we willing to take that strong stand to be in a perpetual minority where we don't have, for example, when this 47 trader thing came up, we can't do any congressional hearings because we don't have control of either house. If welcoming moderates, welcoming, progressives, of course, trying to get more progressives, but if there's a moderate Democrat, welcoming them into our caucus and saying yes and getting that majority back and getting things done, it's a battle between those two things.
It's a battle.
Yeah, but there's a car before the horse argument there. If, in fact, we had a pure Democratic Party, which the people knew stood for the people, not corporations, then we would have more of the state houses. We would have the Senate. We'd have the House. But now, why vote Democrat? The Commodity Futures Modernization Act, NAFTA, TPP. I can give you a list of things that Democrats have done that are destroying the middle class. And I'm a Democrat.
Yeah.
Right.
But we need to stop it.
John, I feel you. I really do. And I am also torn on this quite often. And thank you very much for listening there in Jefferson. Because I think there is some reality in the fact that there are districts where we have to have a more moderate candidate. However, with that said, I think Democrats often take that point way too far.
Sure.
And they run a moderate, if not, mild Republican candidate in a district
election.
They could pass a more progressive candidate.
And look at the last election. Democrats who ran as progressives won walking away.
Right.
Those running as Democrats who are far more moderate saying, I'm not with Obama on that.
Right.
Got beat. Take Kentucky, for example.
Right.
So, strong progressive values. We should find candidates who have those. I'm not saying let's run around and get a bunch of moderate Democrats as nominees. I think we start at the nomination process, as Tom always talks about, getting involved in your local nominating process, becoming, part of that process, and getting the most progressive person on there, and then vote for them. What I don't want to do is the witch hunt that Republicans have done, where you say, you're not conservative enough, get out. I don't want to do the same thing on our side.
Yeah, look how that's backfired on the Republican Party.
They are in control, but they have essentially a big giant split inside of their caucus. They're essentially a coalition right now between extremists and the old party.
Right.
And I don't know if I want that. I don't want to go around with a witch hunt getting rid of people who aren't liberal enough. That's where I stand.
I have a difficult time sometimes separating political reality with my political goals or my political ideals, if you will. But Shano, very pragmatic answer. Let's check in with Paul in South Lyon, Michigan. Paul, thanks to Shane for explaining his shirt for anybody who's watching on Free Speech TV.
Yeah, thanks a lot. I was about to go buy a new TV because I thought there's got to be something seriously wrong with this one.
Yeah.
It's Hawaiian Shirt Day. For anybody who missed that earlier, thank you, Office Space. Sorry, go ahead, Paul.
Yeah. Anyway, about that last guy, anyone who can't see the difference between the Democratic Party and the Republican Party isn't paying attention. I mean, come on, look at their budgets, But anyway, I want to thank both of you for defending me from that troll who called me a troll yesterday.
Our pleasure.
Yeah.
I started to read this Republican budget, speaking of budgets, this so-called Republican budget, but then I remembered I don't like fiction, and I could learn more from reading a Dr. Seuss book, which also makes more sense. And you don't need to read a Republican budget to know what's in it. Tax cuts for billionaires and income and job cuts for the rest of us, and more pollution.
Yeah.
So that's the bottom line on all Republican budgets, and you already pointed out how Republicans do math. I think they just sit on a calculator and then look at the results.
Yeah. There are definitely no cliffhangers when it comes to a Republican budget. You pretty much know how it's going to end.
Right.
Yeah, exactly.
And it's interesting. The Republican budget passed in the Senate yesterday in their Votorama. But I think Politico nailed it on this one. Senate Votorama, a charade with consequences. And essentially say, you have the Republican budget now $5 trillion in cuts out of the plan in the Senate. But it amounts to nothing because the president would veto such an extreme budget anyway. So thank goodness. Yes, absolutely. But so senators stayed up till 2 a.m., spent how many of Americans' tax dollars essentially to provide fodder for political campaigns in the next election. There's a great article, Politico, Senate Votorama.
Wasn't there something
check
like
it out.
30, 40 different health care amendments too, from repealing Obamacare to all kinds of different. I mean, it was a trove of different votes. John McCain complained about it. I know that.
Yes, John McCain was very upset that he had to stay up until 2 in the morning.
Right.
Well,
I would have been upset last night staying up until 2 in the morning, too,
and,
to be honest with you.
And I will give a shout-out to Senator Bernie Sanders, who put forward a strong minimum wage proposal, got 48 votes out of it.
Wow.
At it. Of course, every single vote against it was Republican.
Of course.
So,
exactly.
Yeah.
There's There's the difference.
Yeah. What's your thoughts on the Republican budget?
Well, this dynamic scoring, like I was saying, I think they just sit on a calculator and look at the results, and hey, there's the numbers, you know. But their assumption with this dynamic scoring goes at the heart of their thinking. You know, the dynamic scoring assumes that when you cut taxes, it brings more money into the government, which is like me saying, if I turn my furnace off, it'll heat my house.
Yeah.
You know?
All goes back to the Laffer curve.
Right. I've been calling it fairy dust because that's about as serious as it should be taken.
The Laffer curve is a joke. I mean, take it at its name, you know?
Yeah, and essentially it's a curve that essentially he drew this on a napkin from the way the story goes. I don't know how true all of it is. That Art Laffer said that if you were to tax people at 100%, your income from taxes would be zero because no one would work. So therefore, so if you put that point there, and then you say, of course, if you tax at 0%, you'll get zero income. And then what he did is he took a curve in between the two and then drew it. So he said over a certain rate, taxes would actually go up if you reduced taxes in this little curve. And on TV, you can see me making the curve. It's like a cone shape between the two numbers, and it's a joke.
Right.
Right.
And it has been disproven over and over and over again, but yet every single time now we get a budget, a proposal, anything out of Congress, it's going to be scored based on this assumption that somehow cutting taxes raises revenue. It's how Marco Rubio and Mike Lee's budget last year was said to cost $2 trillion. This year, it's going to give us $100 billion.
After 10 years.
Right.
Yeah.
How does that work? You know, when you manage to swing the cost.
And there's more tax cuts in the more recent budget.
Right.
It should be higher. It should be more than $2.4
trillion. Right. So that's why I call it fairy dust. I think actually that's the math Pete Sessions was using to calculate the cost of the Affordable Care Act.
If you take $108 billion divided by $12 million, add fairy dust, you get $5
million. That's right. Thank you very much, Paul. Thanks for calling back. We appreciate it. Thanks for watching on Free Speech TV. We'll be back with more right after this.
You're listening to Tom Hartman. Visit TomHartman.com for audio and video archives.
A few more minutes left of us filling in for Tom. We're taking your calls. Don't go anywhere. Welcome back to the Tom Hartman program here on Free Speech TV. Let's check in with... I'm trying, by the way, to take calls as close to in order as we could get it. So if you've been waiting a long time, I do apologize. I am trying to get to everybody. Tom's callers are awesome, and they actually want to talk to us.
And I'm going
to
talk less.
Okay. Charles, listening online in Opa-locka, Florida. Thanks for listening to the Tom Hartman program, Charles.
Oh, you're welcome, man. You've done a great job all week. Thanks a lot, guys.
Thank you.
I just wanted to say, during the election, the last election that we had, there was such a great uproar from the conservatives and everyone else that's connected with them as far as the Ebola patients. I'm not sure if anyone realizes that we do have a doctor, I think, that has Ebola that came from Africa.
Oh, yeah. We hear about it quite often because we're in Maryland and that's where the National Institute of Health is. I think there was one doctor and there were two co-workers of that doctor who also came to NIH to be evaluated as they believed they were exposed. I'm not sure what the status of any of those people are right now.
So where's the uproar now?
Exactly.
I mean, how come, you know, they're not fussing at Obama?
Right.
It was all a ploy, you know, just to get votes.
Yeah, as Iran is.
Well, it is. But I like to say that the gentleman that called a couple calls ago and that was saying that we need to sort of get more liberal candidates. I would like to say that I agree with him, only because at a time like right now, when you have this, when we're just getting out of this recession, you have this obstructionist Congress and Senate. These people need a choice. They need a clear-cut choice. And with conservatives, you didn't get that. That's why they all got kicked out.
It's true.
Yeah.
To be honest with you.
You know, I was thinking when that last caller spoke, and Shane, Charles, anybody listening, feel free to jump in on this. You know, because of gerrymandering, because of a lot of these really awful voter disenfranchisement laws, let's face it, there is a good chance that we won't have a majority in the next election. You know, we won't be able to get it back in time until we can re-change the districts. So is now the time to pull out that progressive bench if we're going to lose anyway? You know, why not lose in the right direction and get some really strong voices, get more people like, you know, like Warren, like Sanders, like Sherrod Brown, like Alan Grayson, get more of these people elected while we have a chance. If we got to wait until the next census, let's use the time wisely. What do you think?
I think, you saw Eric Cantor lose his seat.
Mm-hmm.
And if we had a liberal running with contrasting views that was offering jobs and opportunities like we do, instead of cut this, take away that, and don't give it to those guys because the military needs it, we would have won. So, yes, we have to go in the deepest, darkest place where you think conservatives won't address it. I mean, won't listen to us. And with what we offer, we have a better chance, and we need, just like Tom was saying, call in your votes and be counted.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we need to also put, you know, we also need to be counted in those states too, because I'm pretty sure we'd be surprised that a lot of people want to receive a positive message than what these Republicans are offering, no, as an obstruction.
Yeah, Charles, I think you're right. And you look at the ballot initiatives, the things that passed all throughout the country last election, lots of progressive ideas. People like progress. Let's give them somebody to vote for who actually supports it. Welcome back to the Tom Hartman Program. I'm Danielle here with Chano in for Tom today. One last time I want to mention that if you are in L.A. this weekend, March 28th, 29th, Tom will be speaking on Saturday at Sister Giant 3, presented by Marianne Williamson, together with former Congressman Dennis Kucinich and Senator Bernie Sanders. For tickets and information, go to sistergiant.com or click the link over at tomhartman.com. And if you're not in L.A., check it out on live stream. So just last time. And then let's go check in with Greg, listening online in Santa Barbara, California. Thanks for spending time with us today, Greg.
Greg?
Greg's been waiting a long time. Greg, hopefully you didn't hang up. I'm really sorry, Greg. Let's check in with Tom on YouTube in Voorheesville, New York. Thanks for spending time with us today, Tom.
Yeah, I want to say something about, you know, Harry Reid retiring and wants to put Schumer in his place.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Schumer's one of my senators.
Okay.
And I've known this, and you can, I've seen videos on YouTube where he made speeches, okay? He hoorayed for the NAFTA agreement, okay? Went along with Bill Clinton. And it's right on YouTube, okay?
Do you have any idea, Tom, has he come out, taken a stance on the TPP?
I don't know about that, no.
Just curious.
And if I did, you see, I answer a lot of progressive things online, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And I can't remember what he said about that, because I've sent a lot of petitions to him for TPP. I don't know.
Yeah, I would.
And the other thing is, he also, and you can see this on YouTube, he hoorayed for the doing away with the Glass-Steagall Act.
Yeah,
right. And there were a lot of Democrats who were on the wrong side of these issues back in the 90s. I understand that. We have more information now.
Right.
So while we look at his record now, I will tell you that not more than maybe 2 months ago, Chuck Schumer made a brilliant extended speech about the positive things that the federal government can do and why we need to resuscitate just the idea of a good government, and that government actually is us and it is there for a purpose, and it's there to do certain things and not do other things, but to resuscitate the idea that we're in this together. It was a very liberal speech. So I wouldn't discount him out of hand. I'm from New York as well. I grew up with Chuck Schumer as my my senator for much of my life, and I voted for Kristen Gillibrand, too. I think that's another person who should be mentioned about moving into the leadership over at the Senate.
That would be an excellent choice. I'd also love to see a potential Kristen Gillibrand 2016 ticket. I'm just saying. You know, if we're talking about putting a woman in the White House,
the Senate is an old institution. It's in a lot of ways, it's still an old boys club, and seniority matters. And if you're in the leadership now, you move your way up and you move your way up. You know, I don't want to look at one or two votes of Schumer's just back in the 90s and say, oh, forget it.
No, you know? I agree with that. Mm-hmm. And that's why I asked about the TPP. However, with that said, and Tom, thank you very much for the call and for watching on YouTube. However, I don't have a problem with asking specifically how he would vote on those issues today with the information he has. Does he realize, you know, this is to me as almost as big as an Iraq war vote and understanding today why that was wrong. Again, I like to hold our lawmakers to a very high standard, but they are human. I can understand getting something wrong, but I want that corrected now. So that's my opinion.
There you go.
Yes. Let's check in with Maine, listening on WCPT in Chicago, Illinois. Thank you so much for listening to WCPT Maine.
Well, thank you. I just wanted to talk about something that the president mentioned, which was mandatory voting.
Mm-hmm.
I feel all these things that you're talking about with mandatory voting, these things can be a possibility because this is supposed to be a democracy, a democratic democracy in which the Revolutionary War was fought over. And I feel the least that we can do is vote because most people think, you know, well, my vote don't count or it don't make no difference. How's it going to change? But with mandatory voting, it would change because people would get a little bit more interested in politics and be that a bit more informed, and they would make more wise choices than being made now. And because we have this lack of voting here in America, we have become an oligarchy, like Professor Hartman say. We've become an oligarchy because we do not participate in a democratic process. Like you see, tag, you're it.
Yep.
With mandatory voting, every person would be it. Every person, now they're realizing their vote does count. Of the people, we the people. I heard one gentleman say that a government run by the people would be the worst thing that could ever happen.
Sounds like a conservative to me.
last time I checked, that's what we have. And I am right there with you. The president, I think he was saying it offhand just to you know, get people's opinion, just to throw it out. 100% turnout or close to it, I think, would be a world of difference.
It would
overcome
a lot of the problems we are talking about here. Yes. There are some constitutional issues with it, but I think we should explore it more. That's for darn sure, because it would overcome a lot of these problems.
Right. And in the meantime, even while it's not mandatory, we can put social pressure on our friends, on our neighbors, mm-hmm. To vote, to get out there, even when they disagree. Hey,
peer pressure.
If everybody voted and we maybe didn't like the result, it'd be a little easier to stick with or believe in or understand, despite the fact that it was what Wall Street or the big corporations wanted. Big thanks to all of the wonderful callers today, all of our wonderful guests this week, Tom, Louise, Sean, Jim, Troy, Sue in the chat room, everybody. It has been so much fun hanging out with you. Tom will be back on Monday, I promise. Thanks again for all your support. Danielle and Shano, we had a great time this week. Thanks.
You've been listening to Tom Hartman. For audio and video archives, visit TomHartman.com.
Hey friends, Tom Hartman here. Thanks so much for watching and listening to the program. The Tom Hartman program is brought to you in part by the following underwriters. Identity Guard. Count on us to help protect what makes you, you. WIX.com, everyone deserves to have their own website. ITMTrading.com, America's source for rare coins and precious metals. BostonBeer.com. Boston Beer, maker of handcrafted beers. Geico.com, providers of insurance. IdentityGuard.com, total protection. Quicken Loans, engineered to amaze. And EcoWine.com, your source for organic wine since 1980. These underwriters support our show, so please help by supporting the people who make this program possible. You can learn more at TomHartmann.com.